What an awesome God we have! Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Sweet Jesus. Very good.
I'm going to be very serious today, because we have a very holy guest. So I have to be very serious around a... Wait a minute, around a holy person. You're okay. I can fool with you anytime. But, you know, this guy, you know, he goes all around and he starts this propaganda. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus,
yes.
Can you believe he does something
yes,
like that?
Yes, I do.
Kind of a guy. Oh, hi, Paul.
But you know, he's a dear old friend of ours. This is his sixth
he's
time
not
on
old.
The show.
He's not old. In
now,
our
compared
terms,
to us, he's not old.
He's
young.
A dear young friend.
Okay, and that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we got some guests, and we love Jesus.
Certainly do.
And amen.
Amen.
Paul Miller here. And Paul has been with us several times before.
This is his sixth.
And it's so nice to
he gets a watch when he gets 10 times.
I want to know when I'm getting a raise.
Well, that
we're going to give you 10% of what we give you now.
Welcome, Paul. Welcome.
It's great to be back.
Thank you for coming. It's a joy to have
you. You're most welcome.
And we had a wonderful night last night where you yes. were at St. Hayden's, and there were around 150 people there. And it was just so nice because once... Once we finish with the Mass and the Rosary and Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and Confession, then we get to you.
Yes, but and you know, he did a talk at St. Francis of Assisi about a month ago. We had over 225 people there. Yeah. I mean, when they hear Paul, they come.
And your mission now is Divine Mercy, isn't it?
That's right.
How did you get into that?
Well, you know... it's funny because when I first found out about Divine Mercy, it was in 1997, and I was traveling with a servant of God, Maria Esperanza, who was on the track towards sainthood, and she was alive at that time. Uh-huh. And I was on a mission with her in New Mexico, and we were traveling from Albuquerque to Santa Fe. And we were in this van, and somebody said, "Let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy." I had no idea what it was.
Uh-huh.
I'm embarrassed to say. But anyway, so the woman sitting next to me said, "Oh, don't worry, it's very easy to learn." And that, so that was actually the first time I ever heard it. And it seemed like it took hold of me at that time. It's very strange.
You know, our listeners, a number of them may not be aware what the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is.
Yeah.
I just figured we got to explain that somewhere along the way.
Yeah, we do. And as a matter of fact, last night when we were doing the chaplet, several people came up to me and asked me if I had any literature on how to do the chaplet. You were there, John, when they asked.
I didn't mean to cut you
off. Oh, that's okay. I'm used to it.
Yeah, used it with you.
You've been around us.
Used it with Palmer. Hey, when it gets too bad, give me a signal. I get the duct tape out.
There you go.
And we'll shut them up.
So you were with them every year.
So anyway, it's a set of prayers, obviously, that Jesus gave to Sister Faustina and told her to pray it to extend God's mercy to souls. Mm-hmm. And so it's been around since the early 1930s, mm-hmm. and it's really been a revolutionary thing in my life, certainly. And I personally have had numerous experiences with our Lord connected to the Divine Mercy. And it's interesting because the more I'm around, time-wise, the more I'm being pushed by our Lord in the direction of spreading the message of Divine Mercy, not only here in the United States, but also throughout the world.
Yeah. You know what? I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What exactly, someone asked me this last night, and they asked me several questions, I'm going to hit you with them. But what exactly is the message of Divine Mercy? What's Jesus's message other than his mercy is divine for all of us?
Right. Well, you know, obviously that's the principal message, that you know, Jesus's mercy is greater than anything. So it doesn't matter whether you're as great a sinner as even Judas himself, you know, his mercy can be extended for anything. So that's a very important thing, because it really is what gives us hope in our lives, that Jesus will be merciful to all of us. But the actual mercy message as it relates to each one of us individually is that in order for us to obtain mercy, we have to be merciful. And what that really means is that we have to use every opportunity in our life to extend mercy to other people. And it can be something simple. Like, for example, on Wednesday of this past Wednesday, I was in my soup kitchen, and there were 300 people there. And it was around the time of lunch, and I had stopped down there for something. And my assistant said to me, "Do you want to give an Easter message?" And I said, "No, I don't really have time. I don't want to do it, you know, because sometimes I'll give a talk in the kitchen and bless people, you know, for healing blessings and things like that." But I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And so she was very sort of annoyed with me because I wouldn't do it. So she said, "Well, what about just blessing people?" I said, "No, I'm not going to do that either." So she looked at me. She was very perplexed because normally I'm more malleable than that. But anyway, finally she said, "Well, how about if you just bless the volunteers?" You know, because in our soup kitchen, we feed 300 people and our staff is all volunteers. So there's people who volunteer their time. Actually, over 300 people a month volunteer. So I said, "Okay, fine. Get them sit them around one of the tables, and I'll go around the table and bless the 10 people that are there helping." So sure enough, she set the people up and sat down. And so I started to go. They seated, and I started to walk around, putting my hands on their shoulders and blessing them and going around. So I made one full loop around the table. And by the time I was to the last person, some people had actually started getting up. And all of a sudden, the clients from the street started sitting down. Mm-hmm. And we didn't make any announcement. Uh-huh. And I kept going around and around and around. And it was one of the most profound experiences of all the years I've had since I started the kitchen and all the thousands of people. Last year, we served 120,000 meals. Wow. It was so profound because, you know, I realized at that moment, you know, how easy it was for me to extend mercy to them. And I didn't have to speak about it. You know, it reminded me of, you know, what people say that St. Francis of Assisi said, you know, go out and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use the words. Yep. Of course, that's not really, he never really said that, but it sounds pretty good, yep. Right? It's a great sort of line. But I really, you know, God sort of opened my eyes in some sense because I realized what a beautiful act of mercy that was for them. You know, for me just to pray for them, just for me to place my hands on them, you know, because many street people don't want you to touch them. But here they were coming up of their own accord and sitting down just to receive a blessing.
Right.
Do you think God wanted you to do that?
Oh, totally.
What do you think?
I think so, but I don't think he wanted me to talk.
Wants me to talk.
I think you fit what I call the Jesus rubric. When Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, clothe my people."
Right.
And that's just what you're doing.
Yeah. And that's a form, you know, when we talk about divine mercy, and Jesus says in order to obtain mercy, you have to be merciful.
Absolutely.
That's being merciful. Even just offering a prayer for someone or something is being merciful.
Yeah.
And people need to do that. That's the message.
I just turned to a page.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me do it quick. I just turned to a page about Bible readings, and I turned to Romans just haphazardly. And it said, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink." Right. This is what I tell you. You're fitting right in there.
But I think one of the most important things, especially the timing of the show is very... It's a God incidence for sure.
Yeah.
You know, me being here between Easter and, of course, Divine Mercy Sunday, uh-huh. Which for me is the pinnacle of the year as far as what my ministry is. That Jesus specifically told Faustina that whenever someone prays the chaplet in the presence of a dying person, no matter how great a sinner that person is, doesn't matter how bad a sinner is, that when that person dies, that he'll intercede between that person and his heavenly Father, not as a just judge, but as a loving Savior. Mm-hmm. And that promise is new, as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. It is a new promise, you know, because sometimes you have to ask yourself, and I've done this many times, why did Jesus, since the cult of the Sacred Heart of Jesus has been around for centuries, right?
400 years.
Right. So why all of a sudden did Jesus decide to create this divine mercy thing? What was new? What was the value added, so to speak, spiritually, to why did Jesus create the divine mercy? And I think the answer to that question is not so we could all go to church on Divine Mercy Sunday, go to confession, have all our sins removed. There's other ways to get indulgences like that. Okay, it's not unique. What is unique, though, is Jesus' call to each one of us to go forth and to pray the chaplet for dying souls. Mm-hmm. In a way, you could say that Jesus has basically deputized us to help in the redemption of each other. I mean, that's the most extraordinary thing when you think about it. If you can pray for your friend or even someone you don't know who would otherwise probably be heading in the wrong direction, so to speak, after he died or she died, all of a sudden we can change that game. Absolutely. We can, by just being able, being willing and being committed to praying the chaplet.
You know what also happens, though, because I've had it happen in my life, when I get upset over something, and I really worry about it, and you can pick a number 1 to 1 million, and I can pick, and I can get worried on it. When I stop and say, wait a minute, let me say the chaplet, right. I change inside. And that worry goes away.
Yeah.
And even if I'm worried over other people, it just gives me confidence that Jesus is with them.
Yeah, I like to share something.
Sure.
When I do MRIs or CAT scans, especially MRIs, when they keep me there for a half hour and all, I'm saying the chapel. I'm saying the chapel. It's the Divine Mercy. And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
Locked up in there.
You know what's interesting that I have found in my experience, as you may or may not realize, lots of times in my healing services, especially the public ones, I'll get many non-Catholics, many ones. I can't tell you, it's amazing to me how many of those people pray the chaplet.
Mm-hmm.
Even Muslims and Jews, and it's amazing.
Right. That, there was a Jewish woman who came up last night.
Is that looking to how to pray?
Looking to John and I.
That's a perfect case of what, it's a beautiful prayer. It takes 7 minutes. It's not difficult to remember.
You're right. It takes about 8 minutes, yeah. 7, 8 minutes.
And it, in some sense, it's almost an ecumenical prayer, mm-hmm. if you think about it, because it does unite all of us in our approach to God to obtain mercy. And what's wrong with that?
and what I think is even more important is that every one of us mistrust God in particular, especially when he doesn't answer the prayers the way we want him. And then to have to come back and say, I trust in you. But do you really know what you're doing? I mean, that's what I say. So, do you really know what you're doing?
Right.
Of course he does.
Well, right. The stock answer is my ways are not your ways.
I know.
But you have to understand that.
If you think about the condition, of the world, right? Most people worry. Most people
Absolutely.
Are consumed with stress as a result of worrying.
Absolutely.
But if you said to that person, "Do you believe in God?" "Oh yes, I believe in God." But then you say, well, wait a minute, I don't get it. If you believe in God, how can you not trust him?
Yeah. But he says in Matthew 11, turn your burdens over to me and I will carry them. Very clearly and very distinctly.
And I was reading, believe it or not, Galatians this morning. How's that look? I dropped
That's very impressive.
I'm impressed.
Paul is talking about we can, in the old covenant, we were children of human, but now in the new covenant, we're a child of God, so we can put away all of our old stuff and don't go back into that worry and fear. And that's important. I'm not a scripture person, but I just happened to read that today.
Very good.
It's a beautiful hope.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. But the novena, the novena that I think you said and I just said that praying for different souls every day from Good Friday on to tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right.
And each day is dedicated to a different group of souls that he wants converted to bring back to him. So I actually took that a divine mercy is his desire not to be selective, but to bring all souls and all different groups back to him, because each day is devoted to a different group, different souls, different type. Those that are forgotten him, those that are healthy and holy, etc.
You know, I'm kind of a doubter, and I speak for doubters. What do you mean he heals? Andy, you don't have any. Do you have any examples of how he has healed through the chaplet?
Oh, certainly. Certainly many.
Share them with our listeners.
Many, 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 many experiences. Let's see. I can take a pick. Physical, mental, spiritual.
Well, you gave three last night.
Yeah, you gave three last night that were very, very, very.
Well, I'll give you one example, to use one example. The there's a person who comes to our Divine Mercy celebrations every month, and sometimes during the week as well. And a couple of years back, I got a call from the woman who runs the Center for Divine Mercy, which is in New Jersey, which is the center that we created. And evidently this man had a terrible heart attack, a massive heart attack, was medevaced to a hospital, and basically was in really poor condition, certainly more than critical. They thought he was going to die. And so she said that the family had reached out and asked if I would pray the chaplet or pray for that person, which I blessed this man many times. And so I agreed to do it, and so I prayed the chaplet. And then a little while later, one of his daughters called me and said, can you please come down? Will you please come? And it was several hours from my home. So in any case, I drove down, and when I got there, I got to the ICU, the man was already packed in ice. And, it was a terrible scene. His family was all standing there, and, I talked to them for a very brief time, and I laid hands on the man, and I prayed for him, and, of course, I prayed the chaplet. And 3 hours later, he was sitting up watching TV with his with his wife. And he's gotten up at the Center of Divine Mercy in New Jersey and given this beautiful witness about how he was dead, and then he was raised to life. Well, that's a pretty dramatic example.
It certainly is.
A very dramatic example.
A lot of people don't believe that. But that's their problem.
Well, it's one thing I can understand, because it does stretch credibility quite a bit. But when you see this over and over again personally, it's pretty hard to deny.
Yeah.
Very hard. In fact, for example, I gave another example last night of a fireman who had been at 9/11, and he had suffered a stroke. And as a result of the stroke, he was paralyzed. And they said he was never going to recover from that. He couldn't move his legs, and so he had such a devotion to St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy that he asked his wife to find a first-class relic of St. Faustina, because he felt if he could pray with a first-class relic of St. Faustina, he would be healed. In any case, they found out that we have a first-class relic in New Jersey and Newark at our center. And they asked us, would it be possible for us to bring it to New York to the hospital so this man could pray for it with it? And so we arranged for that. We brought the relic over, and the man took the relic and, prayed with it, and they prayed the chaplet, and she left. The woman took the relic back, and a few days went by, and they asked if she could come back with it. And when she went back the second time, he said, I want to show you something. And he sort of pulled the sheets up off his feet, and he wiggled his toes. Oh. And he hadn't been able to do anything, and the doctor said there was no way. That was it. So, of course, Melissa is her name, the director of the center. She was very amazed and thrilled by this. And while she, before she, the guy actually got to pray with the relic, they came in to take him away for an emergency operation because he had this condition that had to be treated or he would die. But they told the family he may not make it through the operation, but if they didn't do it, he would certainly die. And he said, no, no, wait, you have to wait a minute. And he took the reliquary with St. Faustina's relic in it and held it and prayed, and they took him away. And she said to him as he left, if you get through this operation, I didn't tell you this, I didn't say this last night, but I'll say it for your listener's sake. She said to him, listen, if you get through this operation, I'll bring Brother Paul back with me with the relic next time. You really got to get the blessing from him. So anyway, long story short, he goes off, he makes it through the operation, and then I went back several weeks later, and the whole family, there was about 40 people, and they had to have a special room for me to go meet him because there's all these people from his family and friends. And I blessed him, and he blessed him with the relic. And then several days later, they called him, and he said he took 6 steps. Amazing. Wow. And then within a week, 36 steps.
Now he's dancing.
And he said to us, I am going to walk in to the Center of Divine Mercy in New Jersey this next Divine Mercy Sunday. And he walked in.
Wow.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So nothing is impossible.
Nothing is. Well,
nothing.
If you can admit God exists, God does. God makes the rules. He can do whatever he wants.
It's amazing. It's his bat, it's his ball, and it's his playground.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, the chaplet is also good for handling, for healing divisions in families. And when you pray with people, I've seen it in my own family, I see healings take place. And it's, wow. And, you know, you don't have to pray at the moment they're all there. You pray when you're not there. But the spirit and the love of the Sacred Heart takes over.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because I do have another story. As you know, sure. I have stories galore. But this is a beautiful story because it's the story, particularly how the Divine Mercy Chaplet changed an entire family. And this happened a number of years ago. I don't remember now. I'm terrible with dates, but let's say 6 years ago or 7 years ago. There was a woman who had terminal cancer, actually cancer of the belly button. Yeah, uracal cancer, they call it. And it's terminal cancer, very rare.
Is that from contemplating your navel?
I guess, maybe that's it. In the sun.
In the sun.
Anyway, so we're laughing, but the poor woman. Okay. So anyway, so she was a wonderful woman and a very faithful woman. And so they brought this woman to see me. And she was just a wonderful woman. And I said, well, what do you want? She said, well, I really want to survive to see my children married. You know, because they were old enough to be getting engaged and getting. She said, I just want to be here long enough to see that. She didn't ask to be healed. She didn't. All she wanted to do was get an extension of her life because it wasn't going to happen. So anyway, long story short, I bless her. And she said to me, will you do me a favor? Will you, if I gather my whole family together, would you teach us about Divine Mercy? And I said, sure. And so what happened was she gathered her family and friends. There was about 50 people in the church. And I talked to them about Divine Mercy, and I taught them to pray the chaplet. It was amazing. The whole family changed. Most of them really didn't go to church. Most of them didn't pay attention to anything. And do you know that, I don't remember, it might have been 2 years later or something, 3 years later, they all were around her room, around her bed, praying the chaplet when she died. Wow. Her sister was completely converted by this and is now the director of the center. And,
wow.
And she's an incredible speaker. Wow. If you want her, she's a better speaker than I am, so you should be getting her here instead of me. Yeah.
And I think somewhere in Faustina's diary, it says, I don't remember the number, that if someone is dying and you're saying the chapel, I will be there to bring them up to heaven.
Right.
So that's it.
Maybe you can just tell the listeners what's involved in the chaplet. It's so simple.
It's a very simple prayer. I mean, if you use just the shortened version, which is totally legal. You know, it starts, you pray it on the...
Well, we can do it now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
you know what?
Let's
Great
do it.
Great idea, John.
I have them every now and then.
You do.
Every That's why he gets the big
bucks.
You do every
now
That's
and
why,
then.
Yeah,
That's why he gets the
here.
Big bucks.
Yeah, he does every now and then.
Okay, so...
Paul, you should see this guy worry if I'm late. Boy.
That's why I like to get here at the last minute.
I like to worry.
Scare you guys a little bit. Anyway, if you have a rosary, you can take your rosary. And I'll sort of give an instruction as we go along.
Sure.
So we begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first prayer, which is said on the first of the three rosary beads, is the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The second bead is the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The third is the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And now on each of the Our Father beads, we say, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And then in each Hail Mary, and I'll ask you guys to join along,
okay.
So this isn't a solo.
Right.
The leader says, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, and the followers say, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And now on the Our Father bead, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and around the whole world.
Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And that took about 7 minutes.
Seven, yeah.
You know, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And listeners, I hope you are praying along with us, those who know the prayer, and those who don't know the prayer, we hope that you saw how simple it is. And how easy it is to say.
Yeah, and it is available. It's available on the internet. It's available, you know, wherever you look, you'll find the prayer there.
And you can put whatever petitions you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can do it. And sometimes they tell you to contemplate on the wounds of Jesus.
Yeah, in fact, actually, this is an interesting thing. And I think it's something that people can overlook, even people who read the diary. At one point, Jesus said to Faustina, "What I want you to do during the hour of mercy, which is between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock every day in the afternoon, not only do I want you to pray the chaplet, but I want you to meditate on my passion. And if you can, say the Stations of the Cross."
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting because a lot of people don't know that. And by the way, if your listeners will check, there's a beautiful Stations of the Cross meditation based on Faustina's diary. It's mm-hmm. It's the Divine Mercy Stations. It's beautiful. Mm. We did it in my
is it
ministry.
Online?
I don't know if it's online,
it
John.
Probably is. It probably will be.
But yeah. I want to go back to something you said because it's something interesting and important, and we blew by it. Okay. But I do want to say, for your reader's sake, you know, you were talking about the novena that Jesus told Faustina that needed to be prayed from Good Friday up until the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday.
Today's the last day.
What's interesting, though, and if you'll think about this now that I say it to you, Jesus is the one that dictated that. How many novenas have you prayed that Jesus himself authored?
Right.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Tell me one.
Absolutely. And it was an inward look of his mind that all the souls that are on his mind, and he just broke them down into categories.
In perfect categories. But you know, it's so interesting because, you know, people don't realize that here is something that Jesus himself dictated.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's almost like how we reverence the Our Father because he taught us the Our Father. Well, he taught us this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's such a valuable thing, such a valuable devotion.
And if you say the novena, and if you're, you know, church rules, if you go to confession within 8 days, you get a plenary indulgence on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Well, it's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
I count on it every year.
I'll take all the plenary indulgences I could get.
I'm going to go out and sit like crazy tonight, and tomorrow I get them all wiped away.
And then you can, then once you have it, you take a whole year and do the same thing
right.
And come back.
But it is a very interesting novena, and the way he broke down and characterized all the souls is very interesting.
And, you know, I'd like to read our scriptural reflection for the week, if you don't mind.
Oh, by all means.
Since you have a Brooklyn accent and you want me to read it.
Yes, I prefer you read it. You read it so dignified.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Psalm 118. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, the close of the octave of Easter, we sing with the psalmist these uplifting and true words. How powerful to sing and pray them within the event of Easter, having been experienced and celebrated anew by all of us at Easter Mass. How many people shy away from offering true and everlasting love because they think that the joy of loving comes from just being loved. True joy, though, comes from loving, even if there is no guarantee of love being offered in return. The love of the Lord is everlasting. It flows from God continually, no matter the response or lack of response of the person God loves. His love is everlasting. The more our love is continuous and not contingent on any response, the more our love brings authentic peace and joy. The more then we are like God. At this point, we came to understand what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, and to be remade, reborn through the crucified and risen one, Jesus Christ, who is Divine Mercy. It's beautiful.
Very good,
isn't
beautiful,
it?
John. Beautiful. And I may mention that the author
wishes to be unknown.
We thank the author for the reflection, and thank you, John, so much for reading it.
My pleasure. And a couple of saints
to be? I have
a
couple of saints, but like...
Saints to be.
Saints to be, yes. Saints to be. At tomorrow morning at approximately 4 a.m., somewhere around then, we will have two new righteous and dynamic Pope saints.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, two at one time. So anyway, let's talk about Saint to be John Paul II and Saint to be John the 23rd. This happening tomorrow sort of connects all the dots, brings everything all together, brings everything, it makes it all come together. Faustina, the Divine Mercy, it just so happened. We'll discuss John Paul II first. And it just so happened that in the year 2000, John Paul's first canonization was Saint Faustina.
Mm-hmm.
And he started the Divine Mercy.
It's almost Sunday. Like it's a closed corporation.
It's almost like a closed corporation.
But it's wide open.
So who was John Paul? John Paul was one of the most influential leaders of the 20th century. He's probably recognized as helping to end the communist rule in native Poland and eventually all over Europe. John Paul II significantly improved the Catholic Church's relations with Judaism, Islam, and the Eastern Orthodox Church, and tried to bring all the churches together as much as he could. By the way, he has some stuff very in common with John the 23rd. I'm not going to talk about him today, but tomorrow at St. Thomas, where John and I are going to be doing talks, I will bring out the similarities between the two Pope saints. And so John's name was Carol Joseph Watala, I believe, and he was born on May 18, 1920, in Poland. And on October 16, 1978, he became John Paul II, the first Polish pope and the first non-Italian pope since 1522. By the time of his death on April 2005, he was one of the most longest-serving popes in history, one of the most influential leaders of the 20th century. And as I said, he was instrumental in doing away with communism. His rule was also marked by tremendous strides in interreligious dialogue. He reached out to all the different sects, to the Jewish people, to the Muslims, and tried and to bring them all together. At his funeral in 2005, the fateful filled St. Peter's Square. I remember it so well, so vividly, with banners and shouts of Santo Subito, Santo Subito. And that means, in English, and I'm not a great Italian interpreter, sainthood now. While respecting the process for sainthood, our Pope Benedict the 16th did waive the traditional 5-year waiting period for the canonization process to begin. So John Paul II was proclaimed venerable on December 2009, and he was also beatified on May 1st, 2011, on the Feast of Divine Mercy again. His beatification is the fastest on record, coming a little more than 6 years after his death, even faster than that of Mother Teresa. The required second miracle for canonization was certified as authentic by Pope Francis on July the 5th, 2013. The second miracle attributed to John Paul II involved a Costa Rican woman who was cured of several aneurysm on May 1st, 2011, the date of the beatification of John Paul II. John Paul II was the most traveled pope in history. He sort of took the Catholic Church and brought it out to the world. He beatified 1,342 saints. He canonized 483 saints. He had encyclicas 14. He made 104 trips to foreign countries. And he spoke 14 languages fluently. What a pope. What a man. What a to be saint.
Yep.
And I'm sure the world will never be the same because of him. There's more, but we'll discuss it at another time. Let's talk about John the 23rd.
Please.
For the time. He was born the son of an Italian sharecropper, poor, and one of 13 children. His name was Angelo Giuseppe Roccali, and he was born on November of 1881. And on June 3rd, 1963, he died, but he became a priest in 1904 and went on to serve in various posts, including papal services in several countries. He was elected pope in 1958 at the age of 77. 77, you got a shot, Johnny.
Never know. Never know. He was so old, he was just going to be a transitional pope,
yes,
until they got a younger one.
So they all thought that he was going to be a transitional pope because of his age. So many expected him to be a stopgap pope, but history tells a different story. Again, the papacy got interested right away with the man who would become affectionately known as the good pope, John. The fact that he chose the name of John was significant because he was the first to use that name for more than 500 years. Other popes avoided the name because of the anti-pope, John the 23rd, 1410 to 1415, an anti-pope. His decision on December 25, 1958, to visit children infected with polio at a hospital in Rome made him the first pope to make pastoral visits to the Diocese of Rome since 1870. He followed his visits with a trip to Rome in prison and spoke to the prisoners. The very next day, he also had a habit of sneaking out of the Vatican late at night in order to walk the streets just as a normal priest. Who else do we know that does that
Francis.
Now? And he led Time magazine to dub him Johnny Walker. Administratively, he invoked a Roman synod and established the commission of the revision of the Code of Canon Law. However, convening the Second Vatican Council was his claim to fame and was by far the greatest surprise of his papacy. John the 23rd made the call for the council, and fewer than 3 months after his election on January 25th, he had no details, no plan, no idea, no way of what was going to be done, but he called for the council.
And people showed up with their own agenda, and he said no.
And he said no.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
He was beatified on September 3rd, 2000. Interestingly, Pope Francis then waived the requirement for a second miracle on July 5th, 2013, which the Pope has a right to do, to clear the way for John the 23rd's canonization. According to the Catholic news agency, Vatican spokesman explained that the move is sometimes something that is the power of the Pope. It's not something particularly special. For example, martyrs are beatified without any miracle, which means that miracles, because of tradition and theology, are commonly requested, but it's not an absolute necessity. And so that's the short story of our two new
saints. You know, can I add about John the 23rd?
Why not? Me. Absolutely.
You know, the church focuses on Adam and Eve eating the apple and then falling. And I always have a vision of John the 23rd of shaking the apple tree and all the apples fall down and they're all over the ground. And he said, all right, now let's see what we're going to pick up and what we're going to change and how things are going to be different. That's my silly mind, the way it works, though. He was noted for pulling down all the drapes, all the curtains, and opening all the windows and allowing fresh air to enter the church. Yeah. And I believe in the long run, he will also be noted for ecumenism, for bringing together all different views.
That's a good point.
I thought so.
About John the 23rd. I'll tell you why. Because he really did. He really did open the windows. Yeah. He really did let the fresh air come in. And he really did somewhat change the pontificate.
He let
of
the
Pope.
Spirit loose.
He let the Spirit, but he let fresh air in there and reached out to the world. And we're going to see tomorrow how he and John Paul II did.
I got one last, I'm sorry, Paul, I got one last little thing I want to add.
And I have one too.
Okay, but mine is very selfish.
I want to add something.
Good. No.
Okay, sure. Why not? But, you know, people say, well, they're going to call, they're going to pray for the new saints. I said, would you do me a favor? Would you please pray to Pope John the 23rd? He's a new pope, a new saint, and he's sitting there twiddling his thumbs. And meanwhile, John Paul II is going to be on overload. So go to the guy who's got a little space, you know.
Well, anyway, he actually, I'll let this out now. He actually reached out, was the first to reach out, and John Paul II continued it, to all the sects, all the religions,
yeah,
and called them brothers.
Yes.
And said, we are brothers. And they are. There's only one God. And we all have the same God.
Paul?
Okay. The thing I wanted to add was that I don't know if many of your readers have read his autobiography. He has a beautiful autobiography. It's a wonderful, wonderful work. And although it's not very well known, I mean, I had the blessings to have read it many years ago. And because of that, he's always been my favorite pope.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's, yeah. You know, he really was quite an extraordinary guy. And I highly recommend the autobiography. It's beautiful reading. Uh-huh. It's a wonderful story about how someone becomes a priest. It's just a lovely story.
And you know what we're really talking about almost a whole hour is, how can we allow God to help us each day by praying to saints, by praying the divine mercy? And it's such a thing that it's so hard to grab sometimes. Well, but God wants to listen and talk to us.
That's a good point, John. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm just looking at the good points today.
I'll tell you, it's a good thing we should start to keep track here.
You know what?
You got a good score going.
2-0. Oh, wait, here comes one.
We have such an awesome God. We have such a God that loves us so much. He's there every minute of the day. We really don't have to look that hard. All we have to do, we have free will. All we have to do is use that free will to accept him and bring him into us.
And to become...
Our God is awesome, Palmer.
And to become quiet so he can talk to us.
Yes,
he's there in the silence.
Absolutely.
And you know why I mentioned in the silence. Didn't you? Trevor, we're going to put on number 4 because this song sums up what can happen when you quiet yourself down, do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and go into silence with God. Listeners, why don't you go into that silence now, just for a little while, and ask for help with whatever problems and concerns you have. You'll find love there. You'll find peace there. You'll find God there. You'll find the divine mercy there. God is ever merciful, and he loves us, and he truly, truly wants to talk to our hearts. So don't be afraid of inner silence. Let him in. And Paul, we have a tradition of praying for our listeners and their petitions. And maybe you could take a little moment and pray for them as well.
Okay, I thank you for that opportunity. Before I start the prayer, I do want to invite your listeners, if they're sitting around tomorrow and not knowing what they're going to do on Divine Mercy Sunday, they're most cordially welcome to come to Newark, which is not the garden spot of the world, but certainly we think that it is a very spiritual place of great miracles and wonders from God. And it's at it's the New Jersey Center of Divine Mercy, 212 Hunterton Street, Hunter, like Hunter, D-O-N, at the end, Street in Newark. And the celebration begins at 11 o'clock with Mass, which will include a very special baptism. I'll keep it a secret, but it's a very special baptism that will occur during the Mass. Then it's followed by a two-hour or so healing service that I conduct, and then it finalizes with the 3 o'clock prayer. And it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful, beautiful service. So your listeners are most welcome to come. And now,
okay, is there a phone number they can call for information? Or
no, but they can go on the website. It's the New Jersey Center of Divine Mercy.com. Okay. New Jersey Center of Divine Mercy.com.
Good.
In any case, I ask you to call to mind your petitions for today. As I begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so I bring the petitions of those gathered here today on this radio to your most sacred heart. I ask that you bless them and heal them in body, mind, and soul according to your will. I ask you to be moved by these petitions as you're moved by the tears of Martha and Mary for their beloved brother Lazarus. As you're moved by your mother's request at the marriage ceremony at Cana. As you're moved by the faith of the Samaritan woman who believes she'd be healed by touching the tassel of your cloak. I thank you, Lord, for the many times when you've intervened in the past, especially on behalf of those who are listening to this program. And I look forward with peace, hope, and joy at your future coming for the conversion of souls. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, amen. I amen. Trust in you. Amen. Jesus, I trust amen. In you. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Paul.
You're most welcome.
And we know that Jesus is welcoming everybody back, saying, you are mine.
Yes, and tomorrow is going to be an awesome day.
Amen.
And an awesome day.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
An awesome day.
In the silence, I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And do not be afraid, for I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, and I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine. Of the